something about the idea of having the Brown Act not apply that bothers me. It seems counterintuitive to me. You know, I understand that things work in our favor, but ethically, morally, our desire to seem to comply with all rules and rules. We're kind of looking for a way of
listen to the lawyer.
Okay. Oh, lawyer. Yeah. Kind of this really wraps up to the concept of, well, maybe we can get around not having this.
I can't wait.
And I feel like the only thing the board, the TSO board, would only be meeting once or twice a year. Well, when it meets as a board, why couldn't it meet under the Brown Act, which makes it a public entity, you know, that you have records and things aren't discussed. I mean, you know, I mean, it seems like it wouldn't hurt having it when they meet, you know, I mean, because they can still, you know, work on their things, but when they come together for a meeting, it's working something that people in public education understand as, you know, it's clear, it's understandable, and if you're going by those principles, it's quality. California.
My job is to tell you where you have a choice.
Okay.
That's a very good choice today. So we started one way and changed it as you go. You probably couldn't go from subject to the Brown Act and not
subject to the Brown Act,
but you could maybe start the other way.
And then if
you don't want to,
okay.
That's up to you. That's fine. You know, in terms of your community, so, but I'm not sure. Very large but I mean, you can live with those rules. I live with those rules all the time. I represent a number of insurance APAs and other kinds of public agencies. I know how to live with those rules, but my job is to tell you what your choices are.
Good, thanks.
I think Kurt and I tend to spend a lot of our time negotiating with districts before it gets to the legal stage. I can say, based on my experience, just that the way the political currents have shifted in the last few years, I would definitely advocate not only for the CSO to be Brown Act compliant, but I'd recommend full fiscal transparency for all the finances of the CSO that audited are available to any of the authorizers. I just see over and over again, creating that wall or that black box between the CMO, which is the structure in the past. Whenever you say, public money is going here, but you're not entitled to see what happens, it just goes south quickly. And obviously the corollary of that is make sure that what you're doing is something that can withstand public scrutiny. But my recommendation would be Brown Act compliant and full fiscal.
And then just to piggyback off of that, I think because of our great relationships, I would even almost put that in writing to, you know, with a legal opinion on that, but I would kind of talk to the right thing to ensure, because we thought much out not only for that board, but I know it's Superintendent Turner, but as you know, for the day, they threw the box off for me. A close friend of mine. If I had a partner organization, I'd say, this guy is really good. We should take him on. I wouldn't want that
stock to be the right thing. So I can see you deciding that different rights and by and large that is going to be respected, complied with, the Public Records Act is going to be complied with, and stop there.
Well, I think, well, that's only a couple of us, and we'd like each person to speak up, and then we'd really have, because I think we have that feeling, but I'd like to hear consensus from.
No, I'm sorry, I think we had a question before we were on
the table. Yeah, I'm wondering if these three alternatives are the universal alternatives, of course they're not. But is there one or two that you might have looked at that didn't make the cut?
Well, we talked about the traditional, and that would be the fourth option. Like the mothership structure, where the parent contractor and all the charters were subsidiaries or were under.
Yeah. Right. That's the other structure. I think that was ruled out for this presentation because
it doesn't mean anything positive.
It doesn't
have no advantage that I can think of.
Has
all the downsides of merging and all the downsides of staying where you are and all the downsides of the new model. I couldn't see any upside for it.
All the things that the collaborators want to get done by forming some outside nonprofit and sharing services, my opinion is they can get done just as well, if not better, under a TSO structure. The problem with having a mothership structure is really only how other bad actors within California have used that structure and our news article, A3. I can go down the list, but it isn't a structure that currently is viewed positively politically, even though I think everybody at the table of the directors wouldn't have used it. Authorizers are going to see, hey, this is like what that other that work has a
organization. I did want to paint the picture of what that looks like. So, for example, in the traditional PMO structure, if the parent organization wants to can all your board members of all the subsidiary schools, they can do that. Wind them up and make them small and absorb all the assets. So, I mean, it's got a huge amount of control over them, which is why there's so much pressure for authorizers to get visibility into that organization, because it has the, while it didn't do day-to-day governance, it didn't meet the requirements of the law for transparency until this year, there was a lot going on there, potentially, that the authorizers would be interested in.
Well, I like
CSO model. Lots of digest for me, and I'd like more time to kind of go through it and clarify issues that I may have.
Which is helpful today at all,
of course. Yeah.
Well, we brought together our two authorities here, and again, I go out to our new, probably just the corporation and everything, and it's nice to see printouts and have your input. I like the consensus where I've heard, beginning to feel that I like with the clarity of the Brown Act and things like that, because we're not looking at the CSO basically, it is the top-down management one, but it's one that will be there, the services, and it will be easy to explain. So I'm seeing advantages.
I lean toward the CSO option. I'm wondering, though, if under that option there might be something lost between your relationship, Kurt, and the directors, and if you would no longer evaluate them. And I need to think that through better.
So we talked about that, and I think that's to be determined based on what I think we talked about, of course, and jump in on this, I would be really serving as a coach, to work with them. I think when we look at evaluation and our assessment, there's that real fine line of what I could do or couldn't do. It's a little bit different. And then again, if they're pointing directly to you, any director, based on a board decision, I think if they don't even have a contract, they could be terminated.
And that kind of intermingles the policy-making responsibility with direct oversight, and it's the direct hands-on type stuff that we have been cautioned to stay away from.
Would you ask the things that kind of bring a couple of multiple decisions, but a couple of options in terms of your role in protecting the law of determination, and if you either you would continue as the CEO of each of the five nonprofits, or you would be the CEO of the CSO and act as a facilitator and coach to the other five nonprofits. So those are the two main options?
I think.
Okay. That's
well, it's a bit unusual, but I'm going against the grain of these three gentlemen here. I'm not a fan of the CSO, and the reason being is that in my mind, the way I work in organizations work, there's a boss that comes down, and that helps shape the mission of our ship and where we go. And sometimes when I'm a principal at a school, I'm not always in agreement, so I'd like to get my three buddies to fire that guy because we're in control and flip them off. Okay? I don't think that's a healthy way to operate an organization where the people here are making those decisions that, oh, I don't like you. An annual meeting to do new board members? Let's get rid of those. I don't like the way Bill voted on this one today. And so part of my history and how I lived in organizations, but I didn't always have the best relationship with my boss. I was in there with my boss. Yeah. And I wanted to fire him. Mike knows. But I think when we diminish your role and responsibility and you're a coach to people to do that, I don't have to listen to my coach. Because how much power do you have over me to do that? And I think when we have a board meetings that are happening two or three times a year, you know, part of this is all about checks and balances. And me making decisions. And I think one of the things that has been really awesome about this group is that we're here making decisions that are best for kids. I'm not representing a person from one organization. I don't say CalPAC or adult or collaborative that they need to get that piece of the pie like I did as a director of special ed at Delta Media if I wanted my Elizabeth. Okay. I didn't have to jump on him to do that. But I think one of the beautiful things that happens in this organization is we make decisions that are best for kids, and everybody in here does that. And that's why I'm here. And that's why I hang out with you guys. Because remember, the first day I met you, when you interviewed me, it was all about relationships, I told you. I said, you know what, I'm too old to work with people I don't like. I'm retired. I can do what I want. Okay? And so that's the part that bothers me in this split model is, you know, everybody has a boss. And I remember when kids would say to me, well, when I get old, nobody's going to boss me around. And my comment was, well, you shouldn't be married. We all have a boss every day in our lives, no matter where we go. And I think the checks and balances part is a real important part for me. And then there's Pete saying, you stay with the law and the Brown Act and all that sense, and I'm all in favor of that. Has our ship gone so far awry? I don't believe so, that we need to change the whole model of it.
As we're continuing this break, you know, take it inside of the last time of the market, maintain our continuity, what we just put up. And we don't need to go to the smart side.
Yeah.
Well, that is something that we talked about, and we came out with the answer, but we got a lot of people to here. If I stay in your role, maybe it's more of a question for you than I have asked, but I'll finally ask you to call you to ask the question. What if I maintain my position as a senior in charge of all five nonprofits? So we had another person that was the executive director of the CS company. You could do that. Does that make sense?
So is that closer? And many of the theaters were caught on a bat, right? That's not good enough to a negotiated agreement. And we don't have to always start from the same place, but we need to work together to get to a point. And I think a total flip on the other side is not the right move.
Well,
you're by me for this.
Oh. Okay. It's probably myself. I'm going to cash on this. Okay, Peter. The first log is, this is the best study session we've ever had. This was really helpful. The dialogue is helping me formulate my own thoughts, so I appreciate the opportunity to get together with this group and this activity. I'd like Charlie to take some time to digest some of this. It's a lot of information, a lot of different options we've looked at. One of my bigger concerns, Mary picked up on, is the design of leadership or CEO position. I don't want to lose the continuity and the effective leadership that we have in the model right now, so I'm very concerned. I kind of like the possibility of you staying with the five charters and there being someone else on the CSO, but I can't picture who that might be, who has an understanding of the whole organization. That's a concern for me in that respect. But this has been extremely valuable time spent.
And I'll have no be even talked about is that there are others who the rest of the community that wants to be that more successful. I mean, for example, let's say Bill, I think we just did a thing, right? Bill's just telling me the first one to do a little time. That's to the reporting to the public. Well, they're different.
I like that.
A lot of information today. Change is complex and change is very difficult. And I just kind of thought about the work I did as an administrator when I'm building a master schedule for school. I have three boards with classes, teachers, teams, and everything got to, run. And so you live and breathe it, and you see it, and people come in your office and they're out doing and asking questions. And I thought, oh my gosh, it would take me a year to build a master schedule. And then you said, do this by a good time would be by July 1. I thought, OMG, that's pretty, that's tough to do it well. So you said, we could do this, but to do it well and near perfectly, but I know you have to be very flexible to make changes. I just got it. So, and then the composition of the board with the CSO, that's special. A lot. Because when there's not all that transparency, when there's not, and we need to communicate. I mean, but I know the power lies in the bylaws, and so I was thinking it would be great to make this wall a visual aid of what we have now, and then whatever we go through or are thinking about next, and what are the attributes of the current. I'm just taking what are the attributes of the current CEO, what is currently happening in our visual now, our mark, and then let's say we went to CSO. What are the attributes of our CEO here and the CSO? And then what characteristics do we want? Because after we leave today, it's going to, everything or a lot of what we say, what we want, it's not going to be the same picture problem. Because you guys live it, you will remember it, I may not. Although I know my own personal concerns. But I would love to see, that visual made so we can all see the movement all at the same time. People ask questions. And then my question is, who is going to make the final decision when we decide on plan A, B, C, or remain as we are? Who is going to do that? That's a huge process. And what are the rules? What are the rules before we even go to a new model? Because we cannot make a rule going in or as we go.
I responded to him, and I really appreciate your input and your honesty and your candor. I think all of us, we appreciate your candor and your honesty, and I think really what we would have to do is how much everyone needs, knowing that we're pros and cons with everything that we are doing, but to make sure that we're comfortable and that we understand it and we're going to have to short term, but we're looking at something long term. That would be much better.
It's a huge responsibility, and change is pretty tough, and there are a lot of kids and staff depending on our good decisions, so I just want to make sure everybody's on the same page and being along with the same page. And I July 1st.
All right,
Bill.
So, there's so much to think about, and I what Tom and Pete were talking about was the idea of particularly brought up initially about only the Brown Act and you know that concern about that, and I took that as a hypothetical, which I knew was not going to go over. Like that's how people get in trouble by being secretive, and then regarding the rule. And who's in charge? And you're absolutely right. You can have somebody just come in arbitrarily and say, I don't like this guy anymore. But it is, but I also look at this, and as I said earlier in our very first study session, that you are a hybrid. And our organizations that collaborate, we are a hybrid. And just because these are the designs, it does not mean that we cannot let's little borrow from a little here and a little here and a little there, and that we can make it our own and still follow. Let's say if that option two is indeed the best option, because also we do need clarity. Sometimes as a board member, I'm trying to think, is this collaborative? Is this virtual? What's going on right now? And if it happens, because there's so many moving parts here. And so that clarity is really important in establishing. And the other thing is, I look at it, as we move forward, this is all part of the idea of imperpetuity. That when we leave this organization, when our time here is up in this organization, that we know that we've left it better and that it's going to be operating still for the good of these kids, often the underserved kids, and that we're still here for them. And our legacy, that's our legacy. So, yeah, it is, I agree with you. So I wanted to try to have another closed date, man. But, I think working with Kirtner, and I know that we will all be working together, and I know that, they'll be calling me and calling you guys and working with the directors, and somehow or another, some of these can be pieced together that will make sense for all of us.
I agree, Gordon. This is Mike. I agree, and I'm very much in harmony with what Larry's thoughts were on this thing as well, too. Did that come through clearly?
Oh, yeah. A lot of information today. Tons of it. I'm not saying that the business is a bad or good model. I think that's the sense of the climate we're in today for the community, for educational world. And I like the person. If you've got to go in and you've got to pitch this to a board member or a superintendent, it's very crystal clear right now because it's not the business we're trying to do. But how does this align with 126? How does it align with XYZ? So I'm not saying that it's off my chart right now, but I think what has separated us from all the organizations like that, the people in this room and the people who aren't in this room right now, and what we do for kids. You cannot do that. If any model shifts from that, then we would, I don't want to be here in that case, because I want to be working with the people in this room and do great things for children. Okay? But
to look at what we're doing, being compliant, like I've been saying all along, and move in the right direction. I think right now, there's just too much information out there. I think we need to look at, I'd like to see it in a clearer fashion. I'd like to see it, how it would play out. I'd like to see some scenarios. I'd like to see some questions. So Kurt goes there and talks to this group. The group says, hey, by the way, what's the point of this? But he's got some cards in his hand that he can say, okay, here's what this is about. Here's why this is going to make it better. Here's why it's going to be compliant. So I need to have all those little compartments in mind. So it's easy for me to understand. Right now, I don't understand it right now. But I do want to see what we have going, working with the people we have here. We're at the kids. I want to keep that in sight.
Greg is just outlining options. He's not saying
do it this way or do it that way. You could have as few as a couple meetings a year. I don't know if that's the best way to go. I think the meeting should be as frequent as it's needed for the CSO to perform its duties. And as a lot of the board members of the nonprofits might also be board members of the CSO, it should be wherever frequency of both board meetings allows everybody to feel comfortable that each organization doing the service for the kids that are supposed to have. So I think there's a lot of options there, but that's the scenario that I think would work best if you want.
How about David?
Is that?
I think the ones that are obviously out are obviously up for clearing the parent need is, for example, the liability of increasing the, for example, option two from the emergency, that one or emergency, I think the risk there is significant. So we can kind of say best case scenario, I think, would be this CSO model. And for me, and looking back to my experience and working with different school boards, having come from a merit system school district where I was the director of the personal commission, so I reported to a personal commission. This was a similar flavor to that personal commission, or was an independent body from the school district, and yet the work that it did was in support of the school district functions and operations. So the personal commission was responsible for the classified service, right? And so that they were a separate entity, they were not under the government of the board of education. So that's where the CSO model probably makes the most sense to come from my experience. And then also just having the opportunity to work in from the people, from the side of the house, and then also taking the interest of the supervisory capacity and the role that took place, and maximizing his capacity with the nonprofit, I still think that CSO model is our best.
I feel like it's a lot of information. I'm a lot of the concept remains from my the CSO model looks good to me, but I think it'd be three credit. I like the brown act, following the rules, I like to be transparent this point and following the rules and with the public records I do like the merit system way that we worked before in the public education system on how that supported the decision of the classified folks at that time, and having been a classified employee, I did like having that part as well. For Kurt, as far as being a coach, I just don't see you being a coach. I think you did a great job with us, so I hope that's where you use your name. But I'm sure there's a lot of decisions. Again, decisions, visual person, I could see the thing that's got on the wall or even on the computer screen blowing up, and I would be doing like the exclusive piece in the park.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think that's going to take some time. And who's going to be making a rule? That would be the other person.
Yeah.
So, I think there's a lot of good work here.
Good. Well, thank you for your work. Anyone else on the call? I feel appropriate to
thank all of you for, you know, kind of wrestling with this. I think it's really, it's incredibly important, you know, this decision. And I think that, I think that this is the most put together and well-described, you know, version of our options that we've seen so far. And that's encouraging. I think that, you know, taking the time to really kind of hash out these details is important. I will say that terms of us, you know, doing the work on a daily basis, it does impact us. You know, the structure and what ends up happening. I think, and I'll speak for myself, and probably speaking for everybody when I say that, you know, Kirk's leadership and what we get from the collaborative is incredibly important. And so no matter what structure we choose, it's important that we preserve, you know, those things. And so, I think it's just going to take some time. And as you guys said, the scenarios to kind of walk through and understand, over time, like, I think the more that we think about this, you go, well, what if this happens? And then you have to walk through the scenario with each of the options. And so I don't think it's something that can be determined immediately, although I do think in terms of the timeline, that it would be really great to start the next fiscal year with everything in place, to really begin next year with kind of turning a fresh page and really putting everything that's happened behind us. So I just want to thank you guys and thank you for an opportunity to kind of sit at the table and discuss this and have input. And as we kind of think up scenarios that would impact our day today, I'd like to respectfully ask that we can bring those to the table, to present them as, well, here's how it could impact, the directors, depending on which decision is chosen. And I think that ultimately, I think everyone's goal is for this to turn out the right way, so that, you know, everyone feels really comfortable and solid, and we have a really wonderful organization that looks good publicly as well.
Thank you, Christine.
Okay. Thank you. Carter, I have a question. So, what is the next step? When is a legal website? When is that going to be made, and how is it going to be?
Yeah, I think
Joseph, the second. Also, both I will buy.
No, I have not gone. It's inaudible.
David.
Aye.
Is that unanimous? Thank you, Lord.
Mike. Okay.
The community virtual writing call for X for motion for adjournment. Steve, second. Thank you, Susan. Call for vote. I vote aye. Steve, aye. Susan. Mike.
Aye.
David.
Aye.
Okay, we are adjourned.
So those for people who haven't put it down on the app, right, Corey?